Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. Kerry Stevenson here, and we're going to go and talk to Blackstone Minerals because they've had a big announcement out recently. Want to talk about that. Blackstone Minerals, and joining me today is Scott Williamson. He's the Managing Director of Blackstone Minerals. Really interesting nickel project up in Vietnam. But Scott, you've come out with a PFS on your downstream business recently, and the numbers are looking pretty comforting, if not exciting, if not big smile on your face. But I want to unpack a little bit of that. Before we do, just give us a quick overview on who Blackstone are and where you're operating.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. So at Blackstone, we own the Thác Bà Nickel Sulphide District in northern Vietnam. It was a previously operating mine, and the previous owners sunk $136 million. We're going to turn that mine back on, but we're going to do it differently this time. We're going to produce the downstream product for the lithium ion battery. And so we're going to take the concentrate from our mine, but also from third party feed providers from around the world. We're going to bring concentrate in, and we're going to upgrade it to the first stage of the lithium ion battery, which is this precursor product, which we'll talk more about today.
Is there anyone else doing that? Because you're adding value in the downstream part of it. So it's not, you're mining, but you're adding so much value with that downstream business. Is that the game changer? Is that what makes Blackstone Minerals so different?
Yeah, so there are some of the major miners are looking at this. So BHP, we've seen some news out the last few days around BHP. They're really moving into this space as well. But at the moment, they're just looking at sulfate, which is the first stage. And we're taking it to the next stage, which is we're combining nickel, cobalt and manganese sulfates to produce a NCM 811 product. So it's 8 times nickel, 1 times cobalt, 1 times manganese. And that trades at a premium to the nickel sulfate. So it trades at a significant premium to the nickel metal, which most miners are used to producing. A lot of juniors will only be able to produce concentrate. And so we'll be able to purchase concentrate from those juniors and mid-cap miners, as well as our partner Trafigura. And that has a payability of around 75%, so a discount to nickel metal. And then this premium product trades at a 20 to 40% premium to nickel metal. So it's equivalent to 120 or 140% on that 75% cost base, which is the payability for concentrate. So it is new. It's a new industry, but this is the future of nickel because of the electric vehicle revolution that's coming and the demand for the lithium-ion battery.
I'm curious, Scott, when you first joined Blackstone, did you see that this would be the focus, this would be where Blackstone was headed? Or did it take time for you to say, hang on a minute, if we add value in the downstream business, that's going to be a game changer, and obviously that's going to make shareholders money?
Yeah, so we started as cobalt explorers, which is that other key ingredient. And so we were focused on cobalt in British Columbia. And through that, we built a relationship with the battery makers in South Korea, and that's where we found our current partner EcoPro. They're the largest cathode manufacturer in the world, and they were the ones that said to us, we're moving towards a high nickel cathode and we're removing cobalt because it's more difficult to source, and we're moving towards a high nickel cathode. And so it was actually our partner EcoPro that gave us the insight to go and purchase the mine in Vietnam. And very quickly we realized that we needed to move into the downstream chemical products, because these cathode manufacturers can't source concentrate. They need a group like ourselves in what we call the midstream, which is to get it into the chemical product from the concentrate. And they definitely gave us that insight, and they pushed us in the right direction. And now we're leading the way because of that insight from our partner EcoPro, and because they moved us in the direction of the high nickel product.
Is the reason for that sort of that focus more on nickel now? Because the cobalt price has come off quite substantially, hasn't it?
Yeah, so that was the cobalt price came off when the market realized there's a significant amount of cobalt still in the DRC, and the DRC can increase supply very quickly. And so that there is a plenty of cobalt in the DRC, and you can mine ethically in the DRC, and you can mine green cobalt as well. So what EcoPro said to us, we're no longer worried about the cobalt. We're actually removing a lot of that, and we're moving towards nickel because it's a cheaper product. So it's much lower cost than cobalt. And so, yeah, it was because the initial lithium-ion battery had one cobalt to one nickel to one manganese. It was a NCM111. And then so now we've gone to 811. So it's eight times more nickel than the initial lithium-ion battery, which was in our iPhones and in the initial lithium-ion batteries, which are in our electronics.
So you've gone from being a miner, I guess, to being more of a manufacturer because you're giving that uplift in value.
Definitely. So it's more of an industrial or a manufacturing chemical refining business.
Yep.
It's a margin business, so it's not leveraged to the nickel price. Obviously, our mine will be still leveraged to the nickel price, but our downstream business unit is a margin game, and it's not a leverage to the nickel price because we buy it for a percentage of nickel and then we sell it for a premium or another percentage of nickel, which is the premium. So we buy it for 75% of nickel, sell it for 120%, 140%. And so the actual underlying nickel price doesn't change our economics. It's right. That margin, and it's a margin game, which is, so we're buying a widget and we're increasing the value of that widget, and we're selling it again. So it's so very much a manufacturing business.
Yeah, so smart. Let's talk about the PFS, which has recently come out, and some of the numbers around that. Let's help our investor audience understand the ramifications of that, because I know the numbers you've been telling us that have come out even surprised you to the upside.
Yeah, so one of the key benefits we have of operating in Vietnam is we've got a very low operating cost environment. We've got very strong labor costs and lower labor costs, but we've also got the renewable hydropower, which is a much cheaper power source than most of our peers. So it's driving some very strong economics. So we can. So the high level numbers, where the capital required at the downstream is 491 million, but the NPV on the base case is $2 billion. If we take today's NCM 811 price, so our spot valuation is $3.5 billion. So a 98% internal rate of return. And so very strong payback on the capital. So you're paying back your capital in 1 year, 1.5 years at the base case, 1 year for the spot valuation. So very good return on investment. And it's a robust business because it's not cyclical like mining. Because it's a margin-based business, it can go through many cycles. We've done a 10-year operation. We believe that it'll be operating for 20, 30 years.
Wow.
To be conservative, we've done 10 years. And, so better economics than I've ever seen. I used to... be a mining analyst as a day job, and I don't think I remember anything like this. So this is a little bit different because it's not quite a mining project. So we can't really compare it to mining projects, but it's something that better than I've ever seen.
Better than you've ever seen. That's big words. but Scott, you've got the nickel mine there. That's part of Blackstone Minerals, but it's only a part of the overall picture, because where the money is going to come from is this downstream business. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the upstream mine will provide, in our base case, 50% of the feed, and then 50% will come from the third party feed providers like Trafigura. So we've partnered with Trafigura. They're the largest nickel concentrate trading house in the world. And so they're a great partner. They've been very supportive. We've been able to access a number of different concentrates from around the world in this study phase. So it's about 50-50. And the upstream business will still make money. And the upstream business is exciting because that is still leveraged to the nickel price. So the more The nickel, as the nickel price runs, the upstream business becomes even more and more economic. It's a really important part of the story because it allows us security of supply over the longer term. So we've got a good 10-year outlook from our mine that underpins the overall business case. So without our mine, we wouldn't be able to look at these sort of downstream opportunities, and we wouldn't be able to attract these major players either, because our point of difference is that we do control a significant amount of nickel in the ground, in our inventory at the mine level.
I've got so many questions. I'm not quite sure where to start, but let me ask the first one that comes to mind, which is Vietnam as a jurisdiction. You mentioned earlier that one of the good things about operating in Vietnam is low cost for labor and various other things. But I would suspect that some people that are looking at it feel a little bit uncomfortable. Is Vietnam a good place to do business, and are they pro, I guess, mining and also your downstream business?
Yeah, so the Vietnam mining industry has been well established over many years. There's over 20 underground mines, 20 open pit mines. So there's a existing mining law and permitting process, which is very similar to the way we do it in the West. So there is a very structured process. It is bureaucratic, so it does take some time to move through those steps, but it can be done. You can see behind me the previous owners have done it well. They permitted it, so we've got a fully permitted concentrator, tailings facility, underground mine. So it can be done, and it can be done to a world-class standard as the previous owners did. The beauty of coming into a brownfield scenario is that the previous owners, which are a number of those management team, are still with our team in our subsidiary company in Vietnam. And so we have operators in our team that have been with this mine for 20 years. And so the core team has come through that journey of permitting and mining in Vietnam. So we've brought them back, and they're a key part of our team. So we've got that expertise over 20 years in country from our subsidiary company that we acquired. So
why did the previous operators walk away from it? Because there's a lot of infrastructure there. I'm looking, you know, just in your background there. I mean, there's clearly been a lot of investment before you came and started up again.
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons. The previous owners put the mine into care and maintenance when the nickel price was $8,000 a ton. We're about to hit $20,000 a ton. So much better nickel price environment now. At the time, it would have been difficult. That's a very low price over the last 10 years. I think it's the lowest in the last 10 or maybe even 20 years. The other thing they didn't do is explore. They didn't do any exploration outside of the main ore body that they depleted. So they depleted one ore body, left behind 25. So we're now just systematically working through those 25 targets. The first five that we drilled out are mines. So we've got, looks like, two open pit mines and three underground mines. So they weren't interested in exploration like we are. That's our core strength. And then the other thing is that there's a tariff on concentrate. So they were shipping concentrate to China, and they're paying a 20%, effectively a royalty, to the government. And they paid the government $65 million over that period.
Wow.
That was a big part of their margin. And their margin was also being eroded by the nickel price falling, but the fact that 20% of their margin was going to this tariff. So our idea from day one was always to build a downstream refinery, because that allows us to remove the tariff. So it's incentivizing downstream processing and keeping the value add in country. And why wouldn't you, when you've got lowest labor costs, hydro renewable power, and a great culture as well? A can-do attitude is what we've found, and very skilled workforce as well.
I've actually been to Vietnam, and I loved it. And you're right; they are a really good, skilled workforce over there. But I want to understand the timing, because you've got the downstream business, which is your value add, and you're saying, do they have to go, I guess, in concert with each other? In other words, you've got to get the mine up and running to feed the ore into the downstream business.
There's a lot of drilling going on. We've got about 9 drill rigs operating. We own a number of those rigs. I think about 8 of them are ours. Because of that low cost base, we can drill very cost effectively, and but it does take time to drill out all the different ore bodies and move them into the mine plan. So the PFS is about 3 months behind for the upstream, but we think that will catch up as we move these ore bodies through into these studies. The other benefit of the mine level is we've got the existing concentrator, we've got existing infrastructure, and yep. It's a lot more a conventional processing route, doesn't need as much rigor around studies and piloting. So the upstream will catch up. And so we're confident of that because it's a lower technical risk, lower capital hurdles as well. So we're very focused on the downstream, but the upstream, yeah, we're very confident that will catch up. And so ideally they're both starting at the same time, but if there was a lag on either one, we can always bring in third-party feed as well. So we can go 100% third-party feed if we need to, but our okay. preference is at least 50% from our mine.
So are you going to do a pilot scale plant? Have you got one going at the moment? Where are you at in terms of this downstream business? You've done the PFS. The numbers have surprised you to the upside. The IRR is fabulous. So talk to me about the timeline of that downstream business.
Yeah, so until now, all of our test work and piloting or bench scale test work has been done in Perth, and we're now moving that all to Vietnam. So we are building a pilot plant in Vietnam. So we want to move all of our sort of expertise in country. We want to upskill the local workforce as well. We want to start building the team that ultimately builds the downstream refinery. So that team will be part of that pilot plant build phase as well. So that's started. The definitive feasibility study will be a part of that pilot plant phase. So we're really starting to push in the expertise from, particularly from Western Australia. We've got Tony Tang, who's a hydrometallurgical expert. He's a Vietnamese as well. So he's Australian Vietnamese. So he's got the ability to really work with those local people and bring those local chemical engineers through that pilot plant phase. So all of the skills that we need to build a mine are already in Vietnam. We've got strong geology, mining, metallurgy, chemical engineering. So yeah, it's really exciting for the operation, but also for the Son La people, which is the region that we're operating in. It's a poorer region of Vietnam, and we think we're going to be a significant economic benefit for this region.
You said earlier that the PFS is indicating a capex of 491 mil. How are you looking to fund that?
Yes, so we think the funding for this project will come from our downstream partners. The major battery manufacturers are very worried about security of supply.
Absolutely.
They're coming out with big numbers. Billions of dollars needs to be invested into these mine level opportunities and midstream or chemical refining opportunities. So that money will flow down. So $60 billion has been sunk at the battery gigafactory level. That money now needs to flow down all the way through to the miners. It's coming. And so we will benefit from that. So we will bring in those joint venture partners. We'll lock in offtakes to the we're associated with funding. There will be debt associated with those. We think that we'll get some very good debt providers that will be linked to those big names. So we'll lock all that in the next 12 months with those offtakes that are really important. And so our offtakes will be associated with funding.
Do you consider yourself a miner or a manufacturing company these days?
Well, it looks like we're moving more into that manufacturing or refining phase, but it's, Our core strength is still exploration, mining, and metallurgy. So the reason why we have this opportunity to work with these downstream players is because they don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't know anything about mining, and they don't really want to know anything about mining.
They don't want to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So we offer that, the bridge between the two industries. This business will be a collaboration of the mining industry and the technologies that we bring and the skills that we bring as miners. And then we work very closely with our downstream partners that are chemical businesses. and we come together. But yeah, we're still our roots are still in mining, and we're definitely happier in the mining phase.
The PFS, good numbers, good to the upside. You're a happy man. Talk me through the timing of what the next steps are, because I think it's important for investors to understand what the next steps along the process is, to see where the value lies for people, either current shareholders or those people that are watching this interview today and saying, oh, this is interesting. Where's, I guess what I'm saying is the share price has been strong. It's risen by about 25% recently in the recent months. Where do you see the value for shareholders now and the timeline along this process?
Yeah, so this is a really important phase for the business, because we, in the next 12 months, we de-risk this to a point where we can start the build. And so to do that, we need the DFS pilot plant phase, funding, final investment decision. They are key milestones that will re-rate the stock. So this development phase is a really interesting point where we're trading as if we'll never build this. And exactly. As soon as it shows that we show the market this will be built, we close the gap on that NPV. So we're trading at something like, I don't know, 0.05 times NPV or some ridiculous amount.
Ridiculous. Yep.
And when you build these things, you go towards 1 times NPV. So there's no reason why this company doesn't go to $2 or $3 billion once we've built this refining business. But at the moment, the market just needs to show us knocking off all those milestones that achieve that. And so the next 12 months, we DFS, pilot plant, final investment decision, joint venture funding, all the funding that comes with that, and then we start building. And you're closing the gap on the NPV, and that's a significant rewrite for the existing shareholders.
And you're saying you're going to get all of that done within the next 12 months.
It's a big ask, but we're aiming for that. And what we're seeing is the funding is not going to be the problem here. It's the funding is coming, and once we start to show the market the funding is there, that's when the rewrite will occur. So. Yeah, we're bringing the funding, final investment decision, 12 months time, we begin the build phase. So there's no reason why we can't do that. And usually the reason why that doesn't happen is because of funding. The funding is there. And so once the market realizes this will be funded, then we're away.
Scott, you said earlier about third-party providers. Just is that from a group of different mining companies around the world? And how does that work? What's the... Are you paying them a nickel price, a spot nickel price, or is it a discount to market? How does it work?
Yeah, so at the moment we can talk about Trafigura. There are other nickel miners that we're working with in behind the scenes. We will always pay market rate or slightly higher than the market rate. Because of our margins, we can pay a little bit higher than the market rate.
Okay.
For our concentrate. So that's why we're having a lot of interest from those third party feed providers, because of our margins are so strong, because of the labor and the power cost, but the particular product is such a premium to metal, we've got an ability to pay a little bit extra than the market rate, which is the payability on concentrate. So yeah, we're getting a lot of interest on that third party feed providers.
With EcoPro, which is your partner, is that downstream business, all the product from there, does that go directly across to EcoPro, or do you have other offtake agreements that you can do down the track?
We're yet to lock in those offtakes. We're going to keep that open as long as we can, because those offtakes will have funding associated with them. EcoPro will be one of our partners. We believe that there is room for others, and we see a significant demand from other battery manufacturers and cathode manufacturers. So we have room for more than one partner, and it will be a scramble, I suppose, for our product. So we'll wait to see who is the highest bidder.
Talk to us a little bit about this pilot scale plant. Is that up and running at the moment? You said it was in Perth. You're going to move it across to Vietnam. Where's the process at the moment? What's that looking like? And when do you scale that up?
Yeah, so that's only just about to start. So that process will take 3 to 6 months to start that build phase or start building it. The pilot plant should be producing in the next 6 to 12 months, and that will give us the data to then make the final investment decision. So yeah, it's a build up from now for over the next 6 to 12 months in that pilot plant phase. That's a really important phase to bring in all our partners, produce the products that they require. Each partner has a slightly different mix. So some want 811, some might want 622. There's different mixes of battery chemistries. So we work very closely with those partners to get the right specs for their particular product mix. We work closely with our feedstock partners to get the right concentrate blend as well. So it's a really important 12 months where we work closely with those partners. Then we lock in those joint venture arrangements, the offtakes and the prepayments and all the financials that come with that. And then we start the big build phase in 12 months' time.
Earlier you said that if you were exporting nickel concentrate from Vietnam, there's a 20% royalty. But because you're giving it the added value, that goes away. Are there any other sort of government costs or royalties associated with your downstream business?
No, the downstream has been, they've actually had a, the government have given us a tax holiday. They're incentivizing foreign direct investment. So there's 0% tax for the first 4 years. Oh. And then it's scaled up to the company tax rate is only 20%. There's a lot of incentivizing of foreign direct investment into this region and in Vietnam in particular. This is a growth region. The South Korean and Japanese conglomerates have been putting billions of dollars into this region because of the tax benefits of foreign direct investment in our region. So it's, yeah, we're very happy with the tax structure on the downstream business. There will be royalties associated with the mine, and unfortunately royalties are everywhere. But yeah, it's all manageable. The main thing is what we get to remove that tariff because we're keeping it in country, and then we're upgrading it. So there will be no final tariff.
Scott, I got so overexcited with everything you're doing because, as I said before, it's not just a mining business now. It's sort of mining and manufacturing, and there's a lot of value there. We're running out of time. Really want to find out from you. We talked about re-rater of the stock. The fact that there's so much going on, you're going to be doing a lot within the next 12 months. You believe that the funding will be there in spades. Tell me three reasons why you think that investors right now should be getting involved with Blackstone Minerals.
Yeah, so what is different with ourselves is we are one of the only ways that you can get direct leverage to these downstream nickel products. Most, or if not all, of our peers will end up producing nickel concentrate. We have the ability to then convert that nickel concentrate into this chemical product because of the relationships we have with EcoPro and others, but also the benefits we have of operating Northern Vietnam. So it's the ability to leverage off that EV revolution and the movement towards a high nickel cathode. The discount to MPV is obvious. So once you move into that development phase, we will close the gap on the MPV. Plenty of exploration excitement as well, as always, drilling away and discovering massive sulfide. So there's plenty of that exploration sizzle as well. But more importantly, we're going to build a business for the long term that has a long-term benefit for generations to come. We are moving towards a green energy future. We're producing a green nickel product. A lot of our peers won't be able to talk about a green nickel product. That is the key difference between our nickel and a lot of our peers, is it will get a premium because of the fact that it is a green product and it will go into an electric vehicle.
Well, Scott, I tell you, I could talk to you for another half an hour. You're going to have to come back soon because there's so much to cover. Given the fact it's almost like two businesses in one. I congratulate you on all the work you've done. The next 12 months are going to be very busy. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I said before, Blackstone Minerals, it's not just a mining explorer. They're developing, it's a downstream business, which is very exciting. The PFS has just been announced. And, you know, the numbers look great. So you have a good look at it. This is not financial advice, but Vietnam sounds like it's a very good jurisdiction these days. Scott Williamson from Blackstone Minerals, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry.